Awesome. Did you all enjoy Canada Day? And the fireworks and the fun and the barbecue and everything else that went with it. So today, I just love, you know, again, I often say this and I'm going to say it again. I can't make this stuff up. I'm not that smart. When Carmichael's word that he came and then Kevin's encouragement, the word he brought and the songs we sung, they all just work in favor of what I want to preach about today. And so, obviously, we're looking at still our season of favor, our series. And last week, we looked at Thanksgiving brings joy, and we mind some benefits of Thanksgiving and joy and our response to living supernaturally through Thanksgiving. So today, I want to talk about, just simply said, fortunes restored. Fortunes restored. Now, I've taken that from Psalm 126, and Psalm 126 is a great psalm for all of us today. So let's read. We're going to read Psalm 126, and then I'm going to dive into it a little bit better. 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord. Like streams in the Negev, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, for us to understand and gain the full import of this psalm, we need some background and some poetical understanding of what the psalmist is writing about. And this psalm, and we will see, encapsulate the past, the present, and the future. And that's a good thing. Now, often when we read Restore the Fortunes, often we think about, well, what fortunes have we lost? Was it land? Was it possessions? Was it gold? Was it diamonds or emeralds? And sometimes we think like that, except that in this psalm, that's not the focus. The focus, the main idea of the psalm is focused on God restoring his people. Fortunes are his people, and that's what we were talking about. The psalmist is joyfully recalling a previous restoration work of God. In verses 1 to 3, we see this, and then prayerfully petitioning for the Lord to do so in verse 4, and joyfully hoping the coming restoration in verse 5. Now, we also have to understand, well, what's so good about Zion? Well, biblically, the Zion has a number of understandings in Scripture. It's a symbol for Jerusalem. Let us return to Zion. It represents the place where God dwells in those days with his people. In the Old Testament, it also represented Israel themselves. And the New Testament refers to the New Testament church, us, Zion. And then also in Revelation, the book of Revelation, it talks about the New Jerusalem. So that gives you a little bit of a concept of that. And now at Psalm 126, if you don't know this, is one of the Psalm of Ascents. And there are 15 of them, and this is one of them. And this helps them to go, when the captives returning to Jerusalem, they used to sing these songs think about it, their exile in Babylon and how long they'd been in Babylon, and they now what they had suffered there, and 70 years in Babylon. Some of us haven't even got to 70 yet. And they back in Jerusalem now, back in their beloved land, back in their home, and we could actually say they were living in a season of favor. Very apt for this series. And this is a psalm we need in times of crisis. For us to, if you've never read it before, go home and learn. It's only six verses. It's not very long. It's much reminded. And the theme of this psalm is God has done great things for us. Now we can see why this psalm was a psalm of ascent, because the pilgrim going back would be reenacting when those came back from exile with Ezra and Nehemiah, and when they came to rebuild the temple. But now before we dig into this, and I just love it when the Holy Spirit is pulling things in from all over the place. We got a call this week. While I'm prepping this, we got a call from a dear friend of ours in South Africa, Tanya McKinley, who has a great prophetic gift. And we asked her, she did it on a voice, and then we sat down and we asked Jess in her cleverness to type this all out for us. And so we can see how this prophetic word from South Africa ties in with what I'm preaching about and where we are. And so I'm just going to read what she wrote. She said, "This morning I was praying for you guys, and I just got the word spring cleaning. And I just feel like God is saying that there's going to be a time of spring cleaning in your church. It's not that things are going to be cleaned away or anything like that. I just feel there are people that have gotten kind of comfortable in certain ministries, in certain places. Some of them are sitting, sorry for you in the back row, but it's not literal, it's poetical, it's prophetic. So some are just sitting in the back row and they're comfortable. You know a couch when the cushions have been there for a long time, you have to go and plump up the cushions, fluff up the cushions a little bit, and sweep underneath and make it look great again. I feel that's what God is going to start doing. There are going to be people that are going to suddenly start lifting their heads and suddenly start saying, 'Yes, I want to be used of God.' There are going to be people that you are going to notice that have been maybe sitting in the same spot for too long. They've got a bit jaded," these are her words, not mine, "a bit lazy, maybe a bit comfortable in their position, and you're going to suddenly start seeing that God is going to start raising them up for different things. I almost see you taking these cushions and putting it in another chair, and suddenly it pops up and gives life to that chair, and I feel that's what's going to happen with some of your people. They've been in one position and you're going to see, 'Oh no, that person would do much better in children's church.' If Emma was here, she'd say, 'Hallelujah, amen.' Or, 'I see that person is just rising up into a leadership position.' And we're saying, 'Hallelujah, amen.' You're going to see, as you move them around, you'll start seeing their different giftings coming to life. I really want to encourage you. It's an exciting time because some of the people didn't realize what they had inside of them. And use you and the leaders identify these certain things, and sometimes it's just a small adjustment, it's going to reap good rewards. So I really feel God is saying that within your church there's already what you need, and as we rearrange, and sometimes will be them doing it themselves, coming to you, and it will identify with you, but it's an exciting time." And I was like, when she gave the word, I was like, get her to write it down and send it to us. And so anyway, here it is, and we have to see that this prophetic word, coupled with what I want to preach this morning, and with the season we're in, I mean, she has no idea of all that stuff. She was just praying for us and thinking about us, and this is what came out. And we see that here there are people here and online that are the fortunes of the kingdom, and God wants to restore that and change some mindsets. And for some, they need to get off the couch and get back in and restore to his service and say, "Lord, I want to be used of you again." Now, everyone has an opportunity of more than once in a lifetime to go through some hardships. And if I said, "Who's going through a hardship?" I imagine half of you would put your hands up. And, you know, we go through tough times or trials or temptations. Sometimes we just feel like this hard time, this thick sorrow will never end. Oh Lord, when will this end? When is this going to come to end? And when you wake up each morning, you wake up in tears. And when you go to bed at night, you go to bed with tears and you see the difficulty and it's so hard and it's so thick that you just can't see your way forward. And you begin to lose hope and you will begin to wonder, is this all that God has for me? Anyone ever said that? Will I ever be happy again? Well, Psalm 126 is strong medicine for you today. It's like taking your vitamins for your soul. It carries a powerful message of hope. It tells you times in trouble and times of sorrow, God will turn your sorrow into joy. It was hard to believe for you, but it was also hard to believe for the Jews. 70 years, the Israelites, 70 years in captivity. Oh Lord, how much longer is this going to last? But let's have a look at Psalm. So we're just going to take some lessons from Psalm 126 this morning. Number one is dwell on God's favor from the past. You know, let bygones be bygones. That's for the bad stuff. When God has been good to you, remember those times. The manifest presence of God is your believer's concordance. Yeah, but we remember that stuff. We don't want to live there, though, all the time, but we want to move forward. Psalm 126:1, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. And remember, God's done for you in your past, and you have some experience of that. And when we reflect on the goodness of God, and sometimes you might have a difficulty with that, you have to have a look and go, okay, I remember that. I'm not where I was then, but I'm in a better place now. And I'm moving forward in what God has said to us. And last week, the writer, in giving thanks, when we spoke about thanksgiving and expressing joy, you know, you go, man, I can't even believe my eyes. This happened so quickly. I feel like I'm in a dream. And we find that great joy comes when we are thankful. Don't just think about it. Don't just reflect on it. Don't just meditate on it. But remember it and marvel at what God. And that was Kevin's whole point this morning. Marvel at what God has done for us. You know, I'm feeling so depressed today, but God, thanksgiving to God. And we use it as a Rolodex, at a place of reference. Now, when we use our internal Rolodex of the goodness of God, we will become like these pilgrims, thinking, man, we must be dreaming. The people knew about the promises of God, of restoration, but when the actual moment of restoration came, it was an overwhelming experience, and they were like those who dreamed, it says. And don't you feel sometimes that you're in a season of favor? You know God's will is to restore you, because it's been preached enough times. You got to start believing that. But when it happens, it's like you're caught flat-footed. I don't know what to do now. You know, I've just started to enjoy this pain. I would say, don't enjoy the pain. Enjoy the goodness of God and His thanksgiving and the joy He brings. It brings me to number two. Is this a dream? Pinch me. Have you ever got into something? We're going to just take a scriptures out of Acts. I call it the miraculous prison break with Peter. In Acts 12:9, and it says, and he went out and followed him. He did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision or a dream. And when they passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city, and it opened for them of its own accord. You know, by now you've got to be going, wow. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left them. And when Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. We can read again in Ezra, and I don't have the scriptures up for us, but Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, that tells of how the Israelites have been in Babylon in captivity for 70 years, and suddenly this new king arrives on the scene, King Cyrus, and he says, okay, you guys can go back home. Can you imagine being in captivity for 70 years and then the king says, okay, guys, you can go back home now. Man, you don't even know where home is. You're like, I don't know what to do. And we see that they now go home, and the Jews experience this captivity. And I'm sure they was like, man, this is just too good to be true. Are they teasing us? Are they saying, you're going to go, and then, you know, the old story, run, and then they shoot you when you're running, and then, you know, trying to escape. They were back in Jerusalem, back in the holy city, back in Zion, and the place where God dwells. It reminded me a little bit of our story, Bridget and I, when we came here, or when we were dreaming, because we were dreaming of leaving our church in South Africa and going to plant a church and coming to Canada to plant a church. And when I say a few years, I mean like 5 years. And our pastor there kept saying, no, I don't think you should go. No, I don't want you to go. No, the people don't think you should go. And we were like, okay, well, we want to listen to God. How do we do this well? Because we didn't want to be, you know, you heard me say this. Some were called, some were sent. Some just took a microphone and went. We didn't want to be like that. We wanted to go with honor. And then all of a sudden, the opportunity came. And we prayed, so we prayed first, and then our pastor got a revelation, yeah, that we should go. and we got a word from the Lord, and then it started to happen very quickly. And then They told, oh, no, your immigration papers are going to take like a year or 2 years. And then they, well, you have to go for a medical. And they said, oh, that's like an 8-week process. And then we have to get police clearances to see we're not criminals coming to this beautiful land. And they said, oh, that can take up to 6 months. You've got to be joking me. Who ordered the pizza? Yeah. You know one of those strange numbers that you don't know who it is? Yeah, you go. Okay. Back to where we were. And then we heard all these time frames, but all of a sudden we stepped out in faith. You know, to step out in faith, you get your rocket is to be off the launch pad so that the Lord can guide it. While it's still on the launch pad, you're going nowhere. And so we took steps of faith and we put our papers in, and within 24 hours, we got a proviso to say, your visa's accepted, you're accepted to go to Canada. And we were like, pinch me, I'm dreaming. And then the medical aid, they came back in 2 weeks. They have to go from Durban to Nairobi and come back. I don't know why Nairobi is the head for Canada Medical, but it is. And we had to do that. And then we had to wait for our police clearance, and that came back. Instead of 6 months, it came back in 2 weeks. And so now we're already scrambling about buying air tickets. And we still haven't had everything in place, so we just don't have faith, we're buying air tickets. And we bought in tickets. And they're all mashed together in a whirlwind of supernatural divine favor at top speed from the Lord himself. So don't be afraid to dream. Number three, laughter and songs of joy. Psalm 126:2. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. God's favor brings laughter and joy. When we see it, when we understand, when we stop the pinch me, I'm dreaming, and we get, man, this is God's favor. You go know that this is great. And we've just experienced some God's favor over this weekend ourselves. So we took our visiting friends from Germany, and we took them down to Niagara for Canada Day. And then we organized a cab to take us to where the fireworks display. Who knew there would be like 10,000 people there? Living in faith. Yes, exactly. And at 10 o'clock, as the fireworks started, the rain came down. And it was fun. And then we walked up and we called the cab, and he says, no, I can't come, and we're on the other side of town. So we're like, oh, my. So Louise gets on and calls another cab, and he says, no, we don't send our cabs down there this time of night. And we were like, oh, my. So I just stepped out there, and I'm like, okay, what's happening? And the next thing, this cab runs past me. It's the original guy who said he can't come. So I wasn't about to go, and so how come you couldn't come, and why did you come? I was like, thank you, Jesus. Guys, let's get in the cab, and let's go. Because now it's like 11:15 at night. So, you know, and it's way past my bedtime. But anyway, so God works in mysterious ways. And so we were very excited about that. And then we see the sorrow of these captives, you know, and you can't always express the joy because you haven't walked through the people's sorrow. They've got to express their joy for themselves. And we can be joyful. Psalm 137, some of you think that Boney M. wrote this and made this famous. Well, they didn't. The psalmist did. Beside the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem. Okay. We put away our harps and hanging them on the branches of poplar trees, for our captors demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn. Yeah, now how about you being in my place and then see how joyful we can be. Sing us one of those songs of Jerusalem. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord in a foreign land, or in this version, a pagan land? And we have to get hold of it and get, and you know, Boney M., they captured this thing and made themselves famous with this song at Christmas. But sometimes it's just heartbreaking and hopeless when you read some of the stuff that the tormentors demanded from them. And they remembered when they were back in Zion. And when Bridget and I first came here, and we had our own little Babylon moment, and we went down to the lake, and we sat and cried, and what were we doing here, Lord? And then he brought us joy. And we prayed, and we asked him, and he brought us joy and released us, and here we are. For those, some of you who'd say, well, this is all good for you, I'm gonna make you a promise now. In God's time, your sorrow will be lifted. And God will fill your mouth with laughter and songs of joy. Number four, glory to God and joy for us. And then now we give God the glory and the joy will be yours. And the praise is yours. We sang it this morning. Psalm 126:2. The Lord has done great things for them, looking back. And here's the present tense of it. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. And so we notice that this verse is talking about in the present moment. And some of you can call back the past, as it were, and remember those good times and know that God is faithful. And He is always faithful and He will not let you down. And then in the present, you can think about it and go, yeah, God is good to us. God is wonderful to us. He was great to us through COVID. We could still meet when we needed to meet. People had no idea how to live stream. I know some of you just think this is all just happens. They all just clever. Ask Jess, she'll tell you, and Swapna and some of the team. They'll tell you how this all went down. And they were scrambling, and the Thev kids and us in our home trying to create this thing and do the live stream, and then the battery ran out halfway through the preach, and then we had to stop the preach, and then charge the battery. I know, it's fun, man. live from the living room? And then with that, halfway through worship, and the battery... And Rochelle would have to, okay, just hold on, guys. We're just going to charge the battery again. And you all sat and watched it at home and thought, man, that's so great. You didn't know that Jess was spending 8 hours working before that trying to fix this and put it all together for you and for us. God does a work of deliverance in your life. It brings glory to God and joy for us. Luke 1:49, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. We looked at the benefit of thanksgiving and glorifies God. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. And when God does a work like this in your life, it brings glory to Him. We have got to learn to acknowledge that. And like, yeah, no, it was good luck. Hey? Yeah, it was great luck that the taxi just came. No, it wasn't. Because the lady had already told us we don't send our drivers down there. So we were going to go, didn't ask Him too many questions because we didn't want Him to get into trouble that He came there. But He did. And so we just, thank You, Jesus. In the van, let's go. When God does a work, He brings glory and joy for us. When others see God's favor on your life, how come you got all the favor? Well, it's because you bring glory to God. Why? Because you give thanksgiving to God. The people will notice the joy of salvation in your life, the joy of spiritual victory in your life, the joy of Christian fellowship together as we together and drink coffee together and sing and praise together and pray together, the joy of a new work that God is doing in our lives in a season of favor. But what it also does, it reminds us of our responsibility to tell others about the good news in the kingdom of heaven. So, do your friends, do your neighbors know that you're a follower of Christ? Do you share testimony of God's goodness with those around you on a regular basis? Do you offer up a praise to Him and say, you can't believe the favor of God in my life? Not as a na-na-na-na-na thing, but just to help them to understand that. Number five, we want to trust God to do it again. We say, yes, Lord, do it again. Psalm 126:4, restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy and with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. And that is the fruit of the harvest. It doesn't mean literal sheaves. It means the lives and souls of people. And they were recalling the time when they were in Jerusalem and how there's still work to be done in rebuilding the wall. You know, Nehemiah went out first and went and had a look around and, okay, this needs fixing, that thing, write this down. You know, can you imagine him going down to the dung gate? This one really needs to be blocked up again. You know, and going around and then got all the people. King Cyrus said, you can go. And they went there and then he was like, okay, guys, welcome home, but there's work to do. And then you go and read the account and You'll see how they all got to it. And even people who had no idea how to hold a tool in their hand, they were holding tools, and some had swords and were ready to fight. You know, you may face troubles each day, but God has fresh new mercies every day for you. Each day for you to face it. This is too hard for me, Lord. It's difficult right now. Trials and temptations, yeah, counted as joy, remember? God has done great things for you in the past. Now we need to trust Him to do it again in the future. You know, well, I remember in 1986. Now, that's good to remember that, but what is God doing in 2022, in July of 2022? And we've got to look forward to what He's doing, bringing hope. Number six, looking at lessons, pray for God's full restoration and blessing. I mean, who wants half a blessing? God doesn't give half blessings. He gives full blessings. Psalm 126:4, restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. We don't forget the joy. We don't forget the dreaming and the laughter and the songs of joy. Yet we also aware that there's work to be done and that we're moving forward. You know, we'd started the whole series this year with Carpe Diem. The train is moving. You can either be on the train or you're not on the train. And when it stops at the next station, you can get on and you will be welcomed. But right now, the train is moving. Jesus is always moving. He never like hung around and said, okay, who wants to play catch up now? I'm about my Father's business, and we've got to be about our Father's business. To understand, the Negev was a desert that was dry and arid, and twice a year, the spring rains would come, and that place would have flash floods. If you've ever seen a flash flood or been in a flash flood, it is quite frightening. And sometimes it's just too much, and it's overwhelming. But what they say, the psalmist is saying, is restore to our people your mighty ways that bless them, Lord, and blessings that are too much to handle. These blessings are overwhelming me. I can't understand why God is so good to us. Why God is so good to me. Why is He blessing me so much? Well, He's streams in the desert. We pray and we ask God unashamedly for His blessing to flow. Don't you say, Lord, I need a miracle. Lord, I need this. And when it comes, you're like, I feel like I'm dreaming. Will somebody just pinch me, please? We pray and ask God unashamedly. Isaiah 35:6. Then shall the lame man leap with the deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy, for waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. You feel like sometimes your life's in a desert? Like this is dry and parched. Spiritually dry, spiritually parched. I have a simple solution. Pray and ask God. Lord, I want to give thanksgiving to you. That should be part of your prayer. Not like me, 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 me. Thought just dropped into my head. I saw this. It's not my original thought. I saw it on Facebook. It says, watch out for people who always talk about I did this and I did that and I did the other. He says, a lion never has to tell anybody it's a lion. You just got to go, no. Sometimes we just got to step into the things of God. We need to pray not only for ourselves, but for our church together, as our body together. A prayer for revival, the return from captivity for Israel was something only God could do. This was never going to happen, but God turned it around. And revival is something that God can do. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, God does more in 5 minutes than man did in the previous 10 years. We need to pray for God to open the floodgates of heaven and to pour out His blessing on the church. Have any of you ever been to a waterfall and decided you're going to stand under the waterfall? And all of a sudden you realize, man, this water is so strong. And that you sort of can't stand and it stings your body a little bit. Bridget and I have. That's a story for another day. And you just realize, man, this water is powerful. I think that's what we want. We want to, Lord, just bless. Okay, no, Lord, no, not so much. Just a little bit. Just make me a little wet. No. We just abandon ourselves to His goodness and His kindness. Number 7, God will turn your sorrow into joy. Psalm 126:5. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. And I know sometimes we just thought, oh, how long? Well, only God knows how long. A promise of cause and effect. Pray for God's full restoration. Pray for his blessing. Pray with confidence. Not like, okay, Lord, if you really want to, if you'd like to, here's just little me. No. Lord, I come to you and I submit your word. And Lord, I pray your word over my life that we will have blessing, showers of blessing upon blessing, that you will love us, Lord. You will give us a great season of favor and I will recognize that. And I will honor you, Lord. And I will bring glory to your name through my testimony. You're going through a time of sorrow or sadness? Are you sowing many tears? Know that God will turn your sorrow into joy. Last one. Commit yourself to the Lord and continue to do good. Don't give up. This reminded me of the prophetic word I had right in the beginning of the year about when I was in the military, and they pack us up and send us on a 20K hike, and then they'd have guys along the way, and the last guy was, you were 1K from home. And by now, after 20 years with a full backpack and your rifle and everything, and they'd say, how far? How much further? And he'd say 5Ks. In actual fact, it was only 1K. And then guys would just give up. I can't do this. It's just too hard. Grown soldiers crying. It's too hard. Or you could dig deep and you could go through it. Psalm 126:6. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. When trouble befalls us, last week, you remember we used James 1, we said, when you fall into trouble, sometimes they're just waiting for you. You don't plan them. I think tomorrow morning we're going to wake up and we're going to look for some trouble. I'm going to look for a temptation or a trial tomorrow. No one thinks like that. Well, if you're in your right mind, you don't think like that. You're waking up with the blessing and the joy and the wonderment, and then all of a sudden, trial befalls you. Pray for God's full restoration and blessing. Commit yourself to the Lord and continue to do good. So instead of weeping, we will have joy, and we will become the sower going forth to work and to eventually bring home this harvest, the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. You know, remember that old song? Well, some of you remember it, others. Well, go. What's he talking about? Bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Okay. Yes, no. There is work to be done, and a good work which will bear good fruit in your lives. Times of sorrow are hard. Sowing tears is difficult, but nothing is wasted in God's economy. God will always return it around. And a situation that you're going in right now, and when you have the victory over that, and when you're walking in glory land, someone will come along after and they'll go, yeah, I used to be like that. And you get the opportunity to share with them songs of joy, mouths of laughter, dreaming. Charles Spurgeon says, God is too good to be unkind. He's too wise to be mistaken. And when we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. He is a good, good father. And I encourage you to go home and through the week, read the psalm through slowly, take heed, live in the supernatural of sorrow to joy. Because the point of this is God has done great things for us, past tense. God is doing great things for us, present tense. And God will do great things for us, future tense. Amen. Amen. Amen.